Following audio is from Living Waters Christian Church, located in Buxton, Maine. Please feel free to share this podcast and make copies, but please do not charge for those copies or alter them in any way. For more information about Living Waters, please visit www.lwaters.net.
Continue the awesome work that you're doing in the hearts and the lives of your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was thinking today... Excuse me. As I was, you know, kind of putting the finishing touches on the message and just praying and waiting on God, being in His presence, I love to do that. You know, I was thinking of, you know, I looked around my house a little bit, and, you know, we have a TV there, and I have a little box next to it that says we can get on the internet, and then you have, you know, you follow the wires around, and you realize there's quite a few mediums that are available to communicate. You know, I'm preparing my message, and I open up an iPad, and I want to look up a scripture, so I grab my phone. And, you know, these are things where you would have 7 or 8 books on your desk before when you were preparing, going from book to book and looking from... Now they're all on one handheld device, and you can, it really helps in preparing. But it all of a sudden struck me with all the mediums there are to communicate and for the gospel to be proclaimed and preached, you know, online, through Facebook, through Twitter, through, you know, various websites, through YouTube, through, there isn't anywhere you can go and not find the gospel somewhere. Amen. Where the gospel is being preached, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, it hit me that, you know, what an opportunity we have to share. I mean, literally, these messages are listened to in other countries. People that we may never meet until we get to heaven, you know? And as I was thinking about that, I thought, why is it that the church is so powerless in this country? I mean, we've had more opportunities than ever in the history of our country to proclaim the name of Jesus. Amen? I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just saying the irony of having all the opportunity, all these things that have technological advances that we have that's supposed to make our life easier, get more done, and less time. And more people are stressed out. More and more people are trying to cram more in their day. More and more people are trying to multitask. Trying to answer this text and view this email and get this inbox and not run a red light. You know, we get so many things going, and yet I wonder why the country, our culture, our society thinks the way it thinks. Why some of the debates that are raging that you see in the news and whatever, why they're even being talked about? Why, you know, it's almost like there's something huge that's missing. And I began to realize that Christianity or the kingdom of God, it's not just reciting shallow creeds or certain formulas. It's not just giving a quick look or a glance or making a quick confession about something that even we've read in the Bible. No, real Christianity, amen, the kingdom of God is in power. The church is supposed to stand out over everything else is the love of God operating through a people that's moving and functioning in the power and the glory of God. Amen? Just simply reciting creeds or going through religious motions. You know, religion is, it's like a form without power. It can make you feel good. It can scratch an itch. You know, you can feel like we've done our time for the day, or we ran into church and got blessed and greeted a couple people and left, and now it's on to the We compartmentalize our lives and it's on to the next thing. But you know, I believe Jesus intended for us to continually encounter him. Amen. To come into his presence, to know him intimately, to wait upon him for the impartation of the life and the nature and the character of God as we get serious with him, as we surrender. Amen. I'm not putting down all those mediums of sharing the gospel, but that's not the answer. What really needs to be put on display is the kingdom of God through his people. Amen. And so that whatever we say through those mediums, amen, there's a life attached to it that matches it, that gives credence to what's being spoken, to what's being preached, and what's being declared, amen, where the power of God is released through a people for the glory of God. When someone gets sick, they get healed. When someone's hopeless, they're infused with hope. When someone's imprisoned in their mind or emotionally struggling and trying to survive from one minute to the next, where the power of God is allowed to work on their emotions and work in their heart and bring them hope and relieve them of the pressure and of the bondage. Amen? Where people that are depressed are set free. You know, I began to reflect on how Jesus handled all those things. You know, I'm one, if you want to really see the truth, you got to get to the closest thing, the pattern. Amen? Everything removed from the pattern, further away, you're getting further away from the actual image and the truth of what is being patterned. Amen? So when you look at Jesus, you don't have to look any further. Amen. He's the pattern son. And when you see how he handles things, when you see how he proclaimed the gospel, when you see what he did when he walked the earth, you get a glimpse of what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Now, I believe something's happening in this church. Now, I'm going to speak prophetically to you. Amen. I try to do that on a regular basis. Once in a while, we catch it. But God's doing something in this church, and it's good. I am hearing. I was at the Haddock Supper last night, and Donna came over and started talking to me a little bit. And others that I've talked to this week, that I've been hearing this phrase that's really just been blessing me. Something I've been praying for 34 years. But people are coming up to me and say, you know, I just want to be in his presence. I just love the presence of God. I can't get enough of the presence. See, this is what's going to make a difference between playing church and moving and functioning in the kingdom. Amen. The presence of God is real when the king of the presence of God is in you. Amen. And the kingdom of God is established when the king is allowed to be king in our life. And I'm hearing something, and the Lord's, you know, when I hear that, I perk up, and God's saying it's happening. He's giving us a fresh hunger. He's giving us a fresh thirst for the things of God, for the presence of God, for the kingdom of God to be manifest in its fullness. Now, we live in a day where that's absolutely necessary. It's absolutely essential. And more as the day approaches. Amen? But I want to encourage you this morning to respond. To respond to God's drawing. When he's asking you to come aside. When he says, hey, I want to talk with you. Give God equal airtime that you take when we're praying. Amen? It's great to talk with God. It's great to communicate with God. But spend some time listening and drinking in his presence. I believe a few minutes in the presence of God can change you more than most anything else in the planet. I mean really encountering the presence of God. My message this morning has to do with an invitation from the heart of God for I believe all of us here this morning. In fact, I got a one word title. Be easy to remember. It's come. The heart of God being revealed through one word. He's saying, listen, come. Come into my presence. Let's talk together. Let's commune together. Let's fellowship together. Let me reveal my purposes to you for your life. I read something in a book this week, and the Lord began to kind of speak to me, and he and this author said, and I began to develop it in my own mind, and he said, you know, I believe if we really understood who God made us to be, we'd never want to be anybody else. How much of our life is spent wishing we could be like somebody else, or do what somebody else does, or have somebody else's situation or circumstance? But see, what we really need, and I agree with this author, what we really need is to press into God and see who God made us and what part of the body God has given us responsibility to carry and to put on display. Amen. What aspect of the kingdom is God wanting us to reflect through who he made us? Every one of us have different DNA, and every one of us have different spiritual DNA. Amen. Everybody has something to offer. We just need to know what that is. And God is the only one that can reveal it, because he's the one that gave it to us. Amen. In Matthew 11, in verse 25, said, at that time, Jesus answered and said, now he had just, let me just kind of back up a little bit. We don't have time to read it, but he had just been kind of having it out with the religious leaders and cities that he had been through that hadn't responded to the gospel. And now he's kind of turning to those that are hungry and those that are thirsty and those that are receptive to him. And he said, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. Do you know that? He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. This earth. This earth. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. It says, and you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Now, this is a key in understanding the things of God. God, who's hidden them? God's hidden them. Amen? There's certain mysteries, there's certain truths that are shut up in heaven until God wants to reveal them. Amen? And then there are certain truths and certain mysteries that God can't wait to reveal, but we're not positioned to receive them. Amen? And so what God is saying, there's certain ones here that don't understand what I'm saying. They don't understand what I'm speaking. They don't know what I mean. They don't know how to apply it to their life. They don't know how to function in the kingdom reality that I'm bringing forth. I have actually hidden these things from them, and I've revealed them to babes. Now, I don't think we need to stretch our imagination too much. When you break down these two categories, things are hidden from the wise and the prudent. And they're talking about wise in this world, prudent in their own eyes, the wisdom of the world. These things have been hidden. They've traded God's wisdom for the wisdom of the world. And he said, I've hidden the truth, I've hidden the wisdom of God from them, and I've revealed them to babes. Babes are young. They only know how to do a couple things. Amen? They are totally dependent on their parents. Anybody ever had kids? You know what I'm talking about. And they don't have to know much, but they can get your attention. Right? They got good lungs. They can cry. They can eat. And they can get rid of what they eat. Amen? You've all dealt with all that. They can cry, they can eat, and they can get rid of what they eat. The things that don't need to stay in them. Amen? Well, what God is saying here, this parallel here is the simplicity, that childlike faith that comes to me unequivocally, absolutely, totally depending on me for their very existence, their very source of life. Amen? Their very food for their soul. That childlike faith that comes before. He goes, I'm not going to hide it from them. They come to me in all humility. They come to me in desperation. They come to me because there's no other place for them to get it. I'll reveal it to the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. He said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. The Son wills to reveal. Now we're talking about revelation knowledge here. You can know all about the Father, you can know all about the Son, and still not know him. Amen? We can know about all kinds of things and still really not know them. That's why I like to encourage people. You know, don't get caught up if somebody starts running ministries down or running other believers down or don't get caught up in that. We're not supposed to judge another man's servant. We don't know what makes them tick. We don't know what they've really gone through. We've never walked in their shoes. Amen? We need to have some respect for the kingdom of God and for men and women of God that are trying to serve him. He said, it's all been delivered to me by my Father. And nobody can know the Father except the Son, and the Son except the Father. And who the Son wills to reveal him. Do you know God's willing to reveal himself to you this morning? It's God's will that you know him. It's God's will that you draw near to him. It's God's will that you have a revelation of the Son of God, of his sacrifice. Amen. And for that to impact your life in a way that will change you forever. That's God's will for you this morning. In verse 28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time right here. First, in verse 28, we have the invitation. Come to me. How many times do we run to other people or we run to other things to try to fill this void in our life or to try to bring some sort of joy or some sort of peace in the situation or circumstance that we're in, and we're just looking for some sort of relief? Jesus has given us an invitation. Amen? It's written in his blood. And he's given us an invitation. He said, listen, come to me. Who? Who can come? All of you who labor and are heavy laden, and he says, I will give you rest. Amen. Does that sound good this morning? Now, that word labor in the Greek means to feel fatigue. By implication, it means to work hard, to bestow labor, to toil, to be wearied, not just physically, but in your soul or in your spirit. So he's saying, listen, all you that labor and are heavy laden, you got to understand too, the context here is, you remember John the Baptist just pointed out the Lamb of God. They've been living, the children of Israel have been living under the law for about 4,000 years. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so they're in transition. And they're trying to reconcile in their minds and in their hearts between the law and grace. They're trying to reconcile with, I got to offer this sacrifice, and I got to offer this sacrifice, and I got to do this, and we got to fast here, and we got to have a feast here, and we got to do all this to please the heart of God and to make atonement for the sins of the people. And then you got Jesus coming on the scene that's saying, listen, it's by grace, it's by faith, it's through my sacrifice, not the sacrifices of lambs, of bulls and goats. And so they had this like turmoil going on in their hearts and in their lives, trying to figure this all out. And Jesus knew that. It was wearying them. It's like, what do we believe? It was all prophesied of. Some of them got it quicker than others. But Jesus said, listen, if you're weary, if you're mentally exhausted, if you're emotionally spent, and that's for anybody here today. If you are just fatigued, you're weary, You've been working, trying to earn, trying to please the heart of God, trying to be good enough so God would bless you. He said, no, don't. He said, just come to me. Just like you are, just come to me. Those of you that labor and are heavy laden, he said, and I will give you rest. That word heavy laden means to load up, or to be under a load, like a vessel or an animal being freighted, being overburdened, it means. Overburdened with ceremony. Overburdened with spiritual anxiety. He said, come to me if you've labored, you're feeling fatigue, you've been toiling, you're wearied, if you're heavy laden, if you're under a load, amen, life is loading too much on you, or spiritually you feel like you're under a load, or you're spiritually anxious, wondering if you can get free from any of this, he says, listen, come to me. If you're overburdened this morning, he's inviting you to come to him. If you're weighed down, don't know if you can take another step, he said, come. If you're feeling fatigued in your soul, in your spirit, in your body, he said, come. He said, and I'll give you rest. That means to repose. Literally or figuratively, it means be exempt, to remain. By implication, it means to refresh, to take ease, to give or take rest. And it comes, it was interesting, I followed this back, and it comes from a root word that means pause. It's like God has a personal pause button for us, where we're just on a fast track, and we're heavy laden, and we're burdened, and we're anxious, and we're fearful. It's like God says, just come to me. I'll hit the pause button, and we'll reconfigure your life. I'll trade all that anxiety, all those burdens, all those heavy toils, all those things that leave you frustrated and burdened. He said, I'll trade that in for rest. I'll give you rest. Now, how do we do that? That sounds good, doesn't it, huh? It's nice to have a place to go where we can lay all of our burdens down. It's nice to have a place to go where our soul can be restored, amen, where spiritual revival can be a part of our life, where we're running on the life, the very energy of God, where God's breathing into us, amen, where we're at such peace because we're encountering God and we're spending time in his presence because we respond to his invitation, that we have such peace that no matter really what's going on around us, we find ourselves in a place of rest. Does that sound good? Where it isn't circumstantial, it's a state of being in God. It's a state of being, a place where God's invited us to live regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what happens in our life, regardless of how good things are or how bad things are, regardless of how other people view things, God's called us to a state of being of rest. He said, just come to me, lay that all down, and I will give you rest. How do we do it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse 29 gives us some keys here. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, this is interesting. A yoke is something that's built for service. Amen? He says, Jesus is saying this, take my yoke upon you. He might have made yokes. He was a carpenter. He actually might have been using this as an example because it's something he might have had to construct. But what they would do many times is if they were training a young bull to work in the fields, to plow and to tear up the ground and prepare the ground for harvest or whatever, they would take a young bull and put it with an old seasoned bull. They would yoke them together because a young bull would get really easily distracted. Grass looks good over here. We've planted that. Well, I just won't eat it, you know, that kind of thing. And so they just kind of wander around and wouldn't get a whole lot done. So what they would do is they would build these yokes and they would put the young, inexperienced one in with one who had done several fields, who knew the drill, who knew the commands of the owner, who knew how to listen. And because of his experience and his weight and his size, he would win out. When the other one wanted to wander, he couldn't go. He was yoked up. He was yoked with him. So Jesus is saying, listen, to get rest, you got to get a yoke. Amen? Now, at first, that doesn't make sense. Why would I yoke? How is a yoke going to bring me rest? Well, it's going to save you a lot of wasted time in running around and trying other things. Right? It's going to save you a lot of time of trying to stick a square peg in a round hole. No, he said, He said, and another thing is my yoke's easy. We get yoked up with stuff all the time, but it's not easy. Amen? We get things that we have to serve. We get things that we get involved in. We get things that we look to try to bring us peace, to try to bring us joy. We yoke up with things all the time, but they leave us empty or more exhausted than when we started. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And he said, learn from me. The King James says, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. Yoke up with me, and you're going to get a lesson of who I am. Who I am in you, what I've called you to be, the plan that I have for your life. And my yoke is easy. He said, for I'm gentle. Life isn't very gentle sometimes, is it? Jesus said, I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. In other words, I'm humble. And you will find rest for your souls. That word yoke means coupling, to couple together. That word learn means to not just get an education, but to understand. Yoke up with me, couple up with me, and you're going to understand some things. And that revelation that you get, being yoked up with me, will bring rest into your life. It will help you to learn. It will help you to understand. He's not a mean taskmaster. He wants to gently reveal himself to you and bring rest to the depths of your being and mind. Now, there's some things we'll learn. He said, yoke up with me, couple up with me, enter the yoke with me, and you're going to learn some things. One thing that I think we'll learn, we can read in Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good. Everybody say doing good. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. One of the things that we'll learn as we yoke up with Jesus, as we couple together with him, amen, as he becomes preeminent in our life and priority in our life, is that God's good. Amen. God has all good gifts, all perfect gifts, comes from the Father of light. God has a good plan for your life. Amen. He says, my plans for you are good. They're not evil. To give you a hope, to give you a future. Amen. That you're gonna see when you yoke up with Jesus. You haven't got to wonder about this. Well, this happened in my life. This was horrible. This was happening. Well, I wonder if God did that. No, God's good. Now, anything that happens to you, God can run it through his redemptive plan and bring something good out of it, even if it is ugly. Amen? But you're going to see that God's good. And here in Acts 8, we see why God's good. Number one, God anointed him. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Amen? So the goodness of God has power. And he says, who went about doing good. That power enabled him to go about doing good. God wants us to come unto him, yoke up with him, wait upon him, learn of him, be filled with the Holy Ghost, the anointing that Jesus was, be filled with the power of God, and go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Amen? That was his ministry. That's our ministry. Pete talked about it. Pastor Pete talked about it last week when he said that we are his workmanship, created for good works. Created for what? Good works. Amen. What are good works? Getting the anointing of God on our lives. Amen. Pressing into him, waiting on God, being filled with his Holy Spirit and power, going about doing good, healing others. Amen. All that are oppressed by the devil, sickness, disease, depression, whatever it is. Amen. God says, I want to equip you. I want you to learn of me, and I want my good works to flow through you. And this is what my works look like. He's a good God. We're going to learn that. You yoke up with Jesus, we'll learn that. He's good. He'll love on you. He'll take you the way you are and gently work on you. He'll minister healing, health, peace, joy. He'll give you hope. He'll fill you with his Spirit. He'll give you strength for life and the battles that you face. He'll forgive you and cleanse you of all sin and unrighteousness. He'll restore your soul. He'll renew your mind. He'll provide for you. He'll give you rest. He's a good one to yoke up with. He's a good one to learn of. In Acts 14, in verse 17, he says, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness. This is referring to Jesus. It said, Jesus did not leave himself without a witness. Let's see what his witness is. In that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and with gladness. Amen. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And here he didn't leave himself without a witness. What did he do? He did good. Amen. Supernaturally provided. There's spiritual connotations here too to the rain and fruitful seasons in a life. Amen. God will do good if we come to him. And he'll bring rest to our souls. In verse 30, he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I remember praying one time, man, I just thought I was going to collapse under the weight that I was feeling. Just various things that were going on in the church and people's lives that I care about. And you're praying and you're crying out and you're believing God for deliverance and for some victory. And I remember going on a walk. I live on a dirt road, so I can pray and holler and scream and prophesy and cry out to God. And I don't really know if anybody hears me, but there's no houses up there, so it's usually pretty safe. And I remember hollering out one time to the Lord, just not as loud as I could, but pretty much. Say, God, you know, this is just too hard. It's heavy. I feel the weight of it. I use those very words. It's too hard, and it's too heavy. And God spoke to me, then it's not mine. I'm not giving it to you, because my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. And I knew what he meant. I knew I was trying to do God's part. And I had to leave that with him. I had to yoke up with him. I have to serve with him. I got to let him do the heavy lifting. Amen? His yoke is easy. Any yoke is easy for Jesus. And any yoke is hard for us. And every burden is heavy for us. But it's light to him. So I had to switch places in the yoke. It's funny how when you get desperate and you really cry out to God and you get serious and you mean it, how God can speak one sentence, one phrase, and lift the whole thing and give you another whole perspective. Amen? He's done that several times a day in my life. Amen? We need to stay yoked up with him. Isaiah 1 and verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together. The invitation again to come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He says, come now and let us reason together. Let's talk about this. Let's discuss this. Where you're at here, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is what we're going to be celebrating here, communion, in just a little while on how the blood of Jesus washes us and cleanses us of all sin and all unrighteousness. Amen. And where God takes us and he transfers us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen. And where we that are full of sin and unrighteousness now become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of his sacrifice. He said, come, let's reason together. Yoke up with me. Learn of me. Understand my redemptive plan and purposes. And watch how it transforms your life. In John chapter 7 and verse 37, he says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him what? Come. You thirsty this morning for more of God, come. Amen. You thirsty. He said, come. He said, come to me and drink. He's always the source. And I love this. I love this. He said, come to me and drink. How do we drink? He who believes in me, faith is always our connection to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you dare to believe me, he said, come to me, he said, and drink if you're thirsty this morning. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Amen. Jesus said, come to me and get a drink. And what will flow from your innermost being is a river. Amen. You staying with me here? We get a drink, a river comes out. Now that's what you call exponential growth and development. Amen. That's what you call getting lit up with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God. We take a drink and a river comes out. Amen. God's got enough, folks. Amen. You ain't going to worry, well, boy, he needs a river more than I do, and he don't have enough for both of us, so I'll let him go. No, no, no. Just come get a drink. If you're thirsty this morning, amen, if your soul is longing for reality, if you're looking, amen, for God's rest and his touch on your life, he said, the invitation's come. Come, let us reason together. Come if you're weary and of heavy laden. Come if you're thirsty. Come. He says, just get a drink, and I'll turn that bad boy into a river. You see, the things we get from God, when we drink in from God, they're supposed to flow out of us. And God doesn't want us to flow out just what we a little bit that we get in. Amen? He's got more than that. He says, so my return on your investment will be exponential. If you just get close enough to get a drink, I'll have a river flow through you and you'll transform your whole generation. We got to think bigger. I get tired and I don't think big enough a lot. I'm just confessing. Amen? You get worn out and tired and you say, well, what's this going to require of me? And I don't want to go down that road anymore and I don't think about it. God's challenging us, though. Keep coming and getting a drink. Just take another, one more drink. And the next thing you know, you got a river flowing through you that cannot be contained. The Bible's full of rivers. And I notice one thing about when a river begins to flow from the throne of God, or when it begins to flow from the innermost being, wherever it goes, it brings life. It's the life of God flowing through us by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's a good investment. Good return on your investment. Amen? Just get close enough to get a drink and watch what happens. Isaiah said, come. Jesus said, come in Matthew 11. He says, come here in John 7. And in Revelation 22, at the end of the book, when you read Revelation, you see the first chapter, he kind of tells us really what the book of Revelation is all about. It's a revelation of Jesus. It's all about him. It's about what was and what is and what is to come. And it breaks down into chapters that deal with those areas. Amen. The first chapter is it's all about Jesus, and the Revelation that John, the second and third chapter is about the church. Amen. And his letters to the churches. And then chapter 4, it starts, so you've got what is, amen, what was, what is, and then the rest of it, 4 on, is what is to come. And still, at the end of Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. Let him who hears say, come. Do you see how this mantle gets transferred? The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears that word come and respond say, come. Amen. Drinks turn into rivers that it might benefit others. And let him who thirsts, what? Come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Come. You know, I've asked God before, you know, when you're worn out or burn out or whatever, and your desire isn't working. You ever been in that place where you don't even know if you can desire anymore? My rebuker's broken before. My desire's broken before. I'm just being honest. I've rebuked and rebuked and rebuked things until my rebuker broke. And I've desired things and desired things and desired things until there's no more desire left. That broke. Till I was left with one word from Jesus. Come. And so I had to back up. He said, whoever desires, let him take of the water of life. Well, when your desire is broke, you can always go one more step backwards. God, I want a desire. God, draw me. God, make me hungry for you. Make me thirsty for you. God, I'm not as hungry as I should be. God, I'm not as thirsty as I should be. God, I'm too content with my life the way it is. God, place a divine discontentment in me until all I need is you. It doesn't matter how far back you got to go. Jesus said, come. Amen? Come. In the Song of Solomon, there's a two-word prayer that I pray a lot. He says, draw me, and I will run after thee. Draw me, Lord. I want to catch such a glimpse of you that nothing else will satisfy, that nothing else will do. And God will meet us right in that place. He's done it for me a number of times. When you're at the end of your rope and there's nothing else that you can do to make it happen, you're in a good place. Because God says, there, now you can start with me. You can yoke up with me and you can learn my way of doing it. And by the way, my yoke's easy. And my burden's light. I'd like to have the elders come down at this time. We're going to, in the worship team, we're going to have communion in closing. And as we approach the communion table this morning, with grateful hearts, amen, no matter where we are in our walk with Him, we're here to celebrate this morning His faithfulness, His goodness. Amen. We're here to yoke up with Him this morning and experience His life, to drink from Him this morning. Amen. And every time I take communion, it's meant to be a reminder of just how much God loved us. That He was willing to die for us. To come and get us, to redeem us, to purchase us back. To fill us with His life, to give us purpose. Amen. To establish His kingdom within us. So that we would know what it means to be an overcomer. He overcome through death. He overcome death through death by His resurrection. And because He overcame, we can overcome. So I'm not asking you to come to the communion table this morning if you've got your act all together. I mean, you can come if you've got your act all together. But I'm not saying you've got to have that to come. When we come to the communion table this morning, we're acknowledging our need of Him. And we're coming with a grateful heart because His sacrifice is more than enough. We're coming because this is a reminder that sin has been dealt with in our lives. That sin nature that held us captive has been crucified. That the law and the handwriting and the ordinances that were against us, that constantly reminded us of our sin, has been nailed to the cross. Amen. That the devil, the enemy of our soul, has been defeated. And there's been an open show made of him. That there's an avenue that we have now that we can come boldly before a throne of grace and obtain mercy and help in our time of need. There's a new and living way that's consecrated for us through his blood. So we want to come, I believe, with a humble heart, but also with a heart of thanksgiving and celebration for the victory that this testifies of in your life and mine. It testifies to our salvation, to our healing, to our deliverance, to our peace, to our joy. Amen. And all the wonderful attributes of God that he bestows upon us as we come to him. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your invitation to come to you. And God, we ask that this morning we would respond appropriately. God, if we lack desire, give us desire. God, if we're not thirsty, make us thirsty. God, if we're not hungry for more of you, God, stir up our hunger. Because God, we want more of you. Lord, I pray that through communion this morning, each and every one here, God has been exhorted earlier in the service, would receive their miracle. God would receive a fresh encounter with you. God, that no one would leave here this morning with a heavy load, with a heavy burden. God, that no one would leave here this morning thinking that it's hard, but that we would yoke up with you in your sacrifice, and we would realize that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just come forward and partake of the elements. Just go back to your seat and we'll actually partake together.
One day in your house, better is one day in your course, thousands elsewhere.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you.'" Amen. His body was broken for you and for me this morning. Broken so we could be fixed. Amen. His blood was shed so we could be forgiven. The stripes were borne so we could be healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him in his sacrifice, so that we could have peace and we could have joy. For as often as you do this, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, as we remember your sacrifice this morning, we claim the victories in our own personal lives that you have promised through your sacrifice. Our forgiveness, our healing, our freedom, our righteousness, our sanctification. God, we release your redemptive purposes throughout this building this morning by faith because of your great sacrifice. And in the same manner, he also took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Father, in obedience to your word this morning, we celebrate communion. We celebrate the fullness of your atonement, the power of your blood to cleanse, to renew, to transform, to heal. The power of your blood to deliver and to set the captives free. The power of your blood to deliver us from the wrath to come. Lord Jesus, we celebrate you this morning. We come to you this morning. Reveal yourself to us as never before. Minister healing. Lord, I just sense your peace is washing over this congregation this morning, right now. God, there's a rest that your people are settling in right now. God, we thank you that this sacrifice testifies like no other to the depths of your love for your people. God, help us to love you back with that kind of love that you've loved us with. Help us to love one another with the love that you've loved us with. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.